Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pache. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love in Aramaic Rachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about Michael or myself or the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mindshifters Radio.
Hi, happy Thursday. Today is August 2nd, 2018, and I'm Michelle Pache, filling in for Jeannie, and I'm here today with Dr. Timothy Hayes. We warmly welcome you to the show, and thank you for choosing to be with us. The call-in number is 563-999-3581. Press 1, and it puts you in the queue to talk with our host. We encourage you to call in with your comments or questions, allowing you to actively strengthen and deepen your practice. So let's welcome Tim in support of developing our inner process of Aramaic forgiveness.
Thank you, Michelle. How are you today?
Tim, how is my volume?
Oh, it was okay until just then. Then it got quieter. Keep talking.
It's really weird. Right before the show, I looked at my volume and it's on the lowest setting, and I can't get it to go any higher. Like the button won't respond to click off. So maybe I'll turn off my phone and turn on.
So right now it's working.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead with the intro, and I'm going to mess with it for a second.
All right. Welcome to Mindshifters Radio. This is the place where we're trying to teach people and support them in using the ancient Aramaic tool of forgiveness, based in the knowledge that everything I experience inside myself, thoughts and emotions, is created inside myself. And most of us in this culture have been introduced to the concept of forgiveness, which really relates to pardoning, agreeing that somebody did something horrible and they should be punished for it, but we'll let them off the hook. We'll give them a pardon, commute their sentence or whatever. And that's a nice thing to do, and that's one way to make sure that some of the energy that I would normally throw at somebody about vengeance and bitterness and resentment, that I can detach myself from some of that negative energy by pardoning them. Michael Rice has discovered, with working with the ancient Kabbalist manuscript, and he also found it in A Course in Miracles, that there's an actual process that we can do mentally that helps us look inside ourselves whenever we have an upset and cancel whatever goal we're holding, and in that process get access to the hidden part of our own mind that's actually creating our upset. And the upset could be anger, or fear, or hurt, or sadness, or guilt, or condemnation. And the more I use that process to dismantle the energies that are within me, the better my life gets, the easier it is for me to see accurately my true nature and the true nature of the other beings around me. So Michael and his wife Jeannie have spent uncountable hours traveling and teaching this and supporting people doing this, and about 7.5 years ago, they got the option to do this radio show, and now, 5 days a week, 1 hour a day, they have a format to support people in learning and developing and deepening and enriching their understanding of and use of these tools these tools that include but are not limited to the ancient Aramaic process of forgiveness, tools to help improve the quality of my life, tools to help me manage my emotional responses, tools to help me improve my physical, mental, and emotional relationships, and in general, pretty much every aspect of life where in the past I would blame someone or something outside of myself for what was going on inside of myself. I don't have to do that anymore. I can actually use these tools to discover how am I creating my own fear, my own confusion, my own sadness and upset. So if you go to the website at www.whyagain.org and click on the red and white bullseye or the link in the upper left-hand corner that says Start Here, it'll take you to a page where you can download Chapter 24 of Dr. Rice's book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And you can also download the most recent version of the 7-step reality management worksheet or wake-up sheet process, which contains the core of this ancient Aramaic tool of forgiveness. And you can download the link to a PowerPoint presentation by Bill Costantino that is a very powerful explanation of the dynamic of how this process works, how the goal is related to perception, and how perception is driven by the goal and compiled from my past experiences and angers and fears and sadness, etc. So, as we look further on that page, you can get a link to the MP3 files of past shows that, for whatever reason, people have said, you know, these are really good, you should make these a special show. So some of them have us stepping people through the worksheet process actually step by step. Some of them, like one from a week ago Wednesday, I think it was, where Michael steps through much of the process without going step by step through an entire worksheet, but had a powerful impact on the woman who was calling in and had so much anxiety. And some of those shows are just really discussions with people giving really powerful testimonials to the effects of this work in their lives. You can also go to your app store for the Android or the Apple app store and download the app. If you search for Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness, you can download a fully functional app that has the full 7-step worksheet and an abbreviated 7-step worksheet process. And we highly recommend it. It's an amazing piece of work. It makes this tool so much more accessible for people who are glued to their smartphones. And it ends up being, for some people, Michael has said this in the past, this one woman said eventually when she started doing worksheets, she called the worksheet her best friend. She can tell that worksheet anything. Well, the process of doing worksheets not only lets me tell the worksheet things, it lets me get access to hidden parts of my own mind. So I actually get to know myself better the more worksheets I do. I actually get to know, to see and then release dynamics, traumatic memories, prejudices, upsets from the past and how they're connected in my life in a way that lets me let go of them. So, I'm going to take a breath and ask people to, well, actually, the first thing I want to do is see if, Michelle, are you back? Are you functioning?
I am functioning and I am in business.
Okay. I want to open it up to you because you made a commitment to do a couple things yesterday and share them on the show today. And Well, if you aren't ready to do that or don't want to, that's fine, but I want to make sure we make the space for that before we open it up to callers.
Okay, so I re-listened to the show after work, and there were some things that I took notes on that I wanted to just get some additional information from you to clarify some concepts that were new to me. And as far as the mind shifter, when I re-listened to the show, it was evident to me that the strongest emotional reaction was connected to the concept, there has never been, nor will there ever be, a human being ever born who has more value than Michelle Pache. And so that's what I landed on for the mind shifter, and spent some time working on that. I will own and admit that I was really challenged by it in the sense that all I could, you know, come up with every go round was just more evidence to prove how inaccurate and ludicrous that statement was. And it was frustrating. It brought up frustration in me. I'll do it even better, because even when you say, like, it brought up frustration in me, it's still removed from putting that thing outside of you. So I'm going to go through it next time.
All right, so this is a teaching moment, right? So here it is. We want to use regulatory speech as a tool. And if I'm going to use regulatory speech as a tool, I watch what I say, just like you just did. I catch it. And if I want to, I can correct it in that moment. However, the most important thing for me to do is say, oh, okay, there's a part of my mind that still thinks something outside of me causes my frustration. I'll do another worksheet on that. I'll do another mind shifter on that. Every time that phrase comes out of my mouth, it's revealing. This isn't about how well I train myself to use good regulatory speech on the radio show. That's a worthless, as a matter of fact, that's the opposite of a useful practice. So you just said, it's frustrating. Okay. So now we know there's just another connection with this topic and this process to some part of your mind that thinks you're the victim here and someone or something outside of you is causing your frustration. That's something I can go look at. I can go do a worksheet on that. I can sit and take a breath or two right now and just ask myself, okay, if I cancel my goal to be in control, if I cancel my goal to be free of this frustration, what do I get? And see the connection in my unconscious that just bursts through in my words. So it's really important to understand that regulatory speech is not about cleaning up my speech. That's only the surface level of regulatory speech. The real value of regulatory speech is it's like the metal detector on the beach. You know, I can be walking on this beach every day for the last 10 years and not have any awareness that there's a Rolex watch and a, you know, somebody's glass gold goblet and whatever underneath the sand hidden from my view. But if I get the metal detector out there and I walk up and down, I can discover all kinds of things that are hidden underneath the sand. That's the value of my regulatory speech. It lets me know, oh yeah, I still have a lot of conditioning to undo. The conditioning that told me things and people and situations outside of me are what cause my emotions. All right, so.
Well, let me add to that. In my experience, there's been a kind of two-pronged approach in terms of understanding and training myself to recognize in myself and others the regulatory speech. Clinically, certainly, it reveals a lot more to me in terms of who's sitting in front of me when I use that information to really glean deeper levels of insight to support the client. Additionally, in the sense that I caught myself right here, right, I said it was frustrating, and then it brought up my frustration, but still, like I said, that's outside you. And so going the third step, I had frustration, and it came out when I was doing the mind shifter yesterday. And when I do correct my speech, what I have noticed is that it also kind of like reshapes my content backwards, because I find myself stating things more affirmatively, more directly, more purposefully in terms of what I want to say and communicate, instead of couching it in, you know, passive aggressive or sidestepping issues indirectly, in terms of, you know, just being connected with people through my language and sharing with others who I am, if that makes sense.
Well, there were a lot of words there, but I think that I the essence of what I'm getting is that you're talking about that kind of surface level of the benefits of using regulatory speech. And yes, it's both. It's this two-prong thing about I can start to use a change in my language to reprogram my brain, and a primary use of it is, you know, with the metal detector analogy, my speech reveals to me something that's hidden from my conscious awareness, and I need to dig in the sand. I need to do the work to uncover what is that part of my mind that still thinks I'm a victim, or that people or things outside of me cause my upset. So. So you have this idea that you were doing a mind shifter. Did you have something to share with us about what got revealed, or about what made it so hard for you to let that mind shifter ring true for you?
Well, Julie and I have talked about this in the past, and I don't know what your familiarity with Abraham Hicks, Jerry and Esther Hicks, and their ability to channel this group of beings to provide wisdom or insight or feedback to their audiences. And
I have quite a bit of familiarity with that.
Okay, so you know about the 17 seconds then, right?
I know about what?
The 17 seconds? The
yes.
Concept of holding the vibration. So.
Right.
As I was moving through this, I mean, I would write a little bit and have all this emotion come up, and so I would breathe and tap and cry, write a little bit, have all this crap come up, breathe and tap and cry. And, you know, after, like, doing that for a half hour, I started to wonder of the, like, the frequency that didn't seem to be changing, that I just kept resonating more evidence in my mind and more experiences from my history to support my unlovability or unworthiness. And so I want to actually bring that up because you know, in conflict maybe with that Abraham teaching.
Here's the thing about the Abraham teaching, the one I think you're referring to, is that if you hold a thought for 17 seconds, you shift your energy, right?
Well, the idea is to hold the higher vibration of your energy
right.
by, okay, yeah.
And then if you do that for 17 seconds, you've created a shift, and then you can start building that. You can start building that into momentum, right? So I can stretch it out so it doesn't just become 17 seconds. It becomes a minute. It becomes 5 minutes, so that I'm learning to live in a better emotional frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Are we on the same page with that?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Now, that can be true, and I may have a very difficult time shifting the energy, the emotional energy I have, around one of my 77 times 70 worksheet issues. What they used to say in my graduate work, my core issues. They would say, you know, Tim, when you identify your core issues, you will take those issues with you to the grave. Your only option is whether or not you choose to own them and work on them so you get better and better at handling them and processing them. However, you do not have an option about whether or not they're going to be with you for your life. That's just like gravity on this planet. Once you identify your core issues, there's your work. And that's the same kind of concept that Michael has coined the term or talks about, the 77 times 70 worksheet issues. So the other aspect of this is that, and this may not be what you're asking about, so I just need your feedback to see if this resonates for you, but the other aspect of this that resonates for me when I listen to you talk about it is I want to be done. And so if I want to be done with my issues, I'm in big trouble. I'll never be done with my issues. And every time I decide to say or think or believe I'm done with my issues, what I do in that moment is build a prison for myself and throw away the keys. Now, I know people who get, and they've been in our groups and they've been in my patient rooms, and they get very upset when that concept is presented. And in part, I think it's because of our Western culture, and we're very results-oriented, and we're very externally focused-oriented. You know, if I say, hey, we're going to build a bridge from the mainland over to that island, and I say, oh, and by the way, the bridge is never going to be done, people are going to get really upset. However, this isn't a process moving from point A to point B. This isn't, you know, my life, my existence isn't one of those adventures I go on, like I'm gonna travel from Miami to Seattle. It's an infinite process. If you're part of the infinite extension of creation and you're an infinite being with untold capacities, you're never going to be done, at least in this lifetime, unfolding all of those capacities. So if you want to be done, you've just set up an impossible situation for yourself. You've created the circumstances in which you will always be frustrated. And that's what comes to mind when you talk about this, because this kind of process that you were engaged in yesterday and that mind shifter for somebody who has your core issues around a mother who, as you describe her, was emotionally and physically and verbally abusive, this is going to be something that you'll be working on as long as you're breathing. And in that realm, when you say, yeah, but what about this Abraham teaching where it says if I just hold a different energy for 17 seconds, then I get a shift. Well, you might have a shift, and in the next second, it's back. Unpleasant energy. And so in the next second, you want to start another 17 seconds of trying to hold your energy. And if you're like most of us, when you're dealing with your core issue, you'll have to do that many, 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 many times every minute for every minute that you want to spend in a better energy. Comments?
Well, it reminds me that part of when you're going through the worksheet is that you get aligned with love before you start canceling goals. And so maybe there's a way to, like, upgrade my mind shifter process by maybe taking breaks in between, like, I don't know, bursts of emotion to, like, sort of like how we were doing chuckles and laughter. I would have loved to intro if I was present to that this today. But because maybe that would be more helpful in transmuting that energy. And instead of just, like, keep pounding it with the sadness that was coming.
All right. So here's another part of the worksheet. So, you know, this is good that you want to come at this and look at presencing love, which is part of the worksheet that we do before we cancel the goal and ask to be shown something. And yet, the step right before that has you set the goal, but right before that, it says, I choose to love truth with a capital T. I choose to love what actually is. And I willingly face and process out all of the dis-ease producing energies for and from all of my relations and the generations. So I would offer for your consideration that you want to be done with this, but this is a generational issue. For your mother to have been the way she was, she had to be carrying unspeakable pain. For her to do things to her own children that were physically, verbally, and emotionally abusive, she had to be in unspeakable pain, which means she had to get some from her bloodline. And so the willingness to cry those tears, to feel that sadness and pain, to keep breathing as it comes up, and eventually welcome it in acceptance, in surrender, that's what's needed. There aren't any shortcuts around working through a cross-generational pattern where parents engage in abusive interaction patterns with their children. This is, as Michael often says, this work is not for wimps. Willingness is the primary cosmic grease in this work. And I had every expectation that you would need to go at a mind shifter like that for weeks or months before you get through to be able to read it and say, there has never been nor will there ever be a human being who has more value than Michelle Pache. Because in the statement of that mind shifter, you are creating a direct polar opposite of your life experience with your mother. And the more you repeat it, the more you have to stir up any pain, sadness, or fear that you downloaded all of those years where you were hoping for gentle, loving, respectful acceptance and nurturance from your mother, and you received anything less. The only way out is through.
Part of the challenge I noticed is that even with it being a core issue, it seems if I was self-actualized and picturing that, fundamentally, I don't agree with the statement. in the way that we are all equally valuable.
That's the point. That's what the statement says. I worded it as carefully as I could to make sure that the statement said what you just said. We are all
mm-hmm.
equally valuable, which means there has never been a person who has more value than you. Notice what your mind did with that.
So what my mind did with that is, but certainly there's evidence that I have less value.
Right, but it also went, right now you're telling us it went to, well, this means I think I'm better than somebody else.
Right.
And that's not what the statement says.
Wow.
Yeah, take a breath.
That didn't come up yesterday.
It's in the statement. It's in the mind shifter, the way I formulated it before I said it. I tried to be as careful as I could.
Mm-hmm.
This is not raising anybody up on a pedestal. This is we are all the same.
Right, I get it. And so even though I might give lip service to that, the fact that my perception had me listening to that, you know, who has more value means that someone has less. And obviously that's just another, like, reflection of the belief in that because of my belief about me being less
comparison
valuable.
And more than and less than, exactly.
That's juicy. Laughter.
Thanks, Chuckles.
Wow. So weeks and months, I just keep this one set up for a while.
Well, you know, here, there's this book called The Way of Mastery, and Michael Rice, if he's ever read it, he had not read it until quite recently. And Michael has a technique called the mind shifter, which is targeted journaling. And it's, you know, it's a well-known practice in psychology to have people journal and do sentence completions, etc. But in the Way of Mastery, in the 21st lesson, it begins the chapter, that lesson, and basically says, here are a list of statements that we want you to turn into mind shifters and spend an entire week on each one. And take a blank paper and write one of these statements at the top of the piece of paper, and then all through the week, as often as you're moved to do so, take it out and spend 5 or 10 minutes reading that statement and letting all of the negativity from your unconscious or conscious mind that wants to argue against it spill out on the paper. So here in Way of Mastery is Michael Rice's targeted journaling. And it's done in a format that says, for each one of these statements, you spend an entire week pulling it out as often as you feel moved to do so during the day and spending 5 or 10 minutes writing about it. So a mind shifter, you know, Michael says spend a minimum of an hour. Now I think he's upped it to a minimum of 2 hours. Another few years, it'll be our 10th year anniversary, and Michael will be saying, you got to write for 3 hours on your mind shifters. But that's not the end of it. That's a beginning. That's a good beginning for me to dig into one of my unconscious issues, especially those that are so loaded that I might call them one of my 77 times 70 worksheet issues. Comments? Answers? Questions?
Let's see. The commitment, because I don't do a great job. Well, the idea, I refuse to say another word about my husband or my mother or anyone or anything outside of me as the cause for my emotional state, and take 100% responsibility for any and all external experiences. Like, I know that, and I recognize that I pick and choose when I want to pay attention to that, and that maybe having that, like, as a mantra, as a commitment, somehow, like, working on turning that into part of my personal code. Like, you know, when we did, like, word lengths, like, maybe writing it out or just having it on a card, like, a statement to kind of really, like, my commitment, like, add that as a level. Maybe that's what I'll do. Put in my commitment, somehow weave that idea in there, because I think that's really important and like a good anchor, because it will snatch the unconscious thought more quickly when it's, you know, running havoc, that I'm unaware of it.
Okay. Well, that's, you know, that's an excellent idea, especially if you think for you it's resonating. I mean, that's the core of what you're driving at, is why I announce to people every time we come into the worksheet process and we've got a new person in the one of my sessions or one of the groups, and I say, the reason we recommend reading every word on the worksheet every time is because it helps me peel off another layer of conditioning that I grew up with for the first 45 years of my life, that you made me angry, you hurt my feeling, that situation's scary or tragic or overwhelming, etc. Because in the process of reading number one, I'm on the worksheet process, I'm reading about how every time there's hostility or fear in me, it's a signal that my mind is using corrupt data. And it's telling me the lie that my emotions are caused by someone or something outside of me. So if you think that getting that condensed into a little bit more refined statement and adding it to your commitment is useful, go for it. Because you're right. The more you get those word links in your mind, the more you practice the love of truth and asking to be shown how it really is, the faster you'll make progress at undoing the incorrect old conditioning.
So the other thing that felt like a little aha was the fact that this triggering event was tied to my husband's father's death and the obituary and the, you know, the perception of being, like, left out, shunned, like I use the word scrubbed out, was exactly what happened with my mother and I's dynamic on the evening of my father's funeral.
Just breathe. Stay right there. Don't say anything. Just breathe.
Because now I just figuring out, like, a little bit yesterday, but more right now, that recognizing that there's probably, well, there is a lot of incompleteness about how she made that choice that day. And despite all the work that I've done with it, obviously,
this is just another layer.
Yeah, the scene with Mark, you know, triggered that aspect that wasn't complete. Because it's like...
Right, so
like,
just breathe
like
into it. This is exactly what happens to us. Just breathe into it. Here's a real-life situation. Life is bringing you an event, and there's a huge lesson riding in on the back of this event. Just breathe. There's nothing that anybody would have said to you or you would have read in a book that could have brought up this layer of pain this effectively. And you have done a lot of work. We talked about that yesterday. Please acknowledge the work you've already done and resist the temptation to use the fact that another layer is peeled up to criticize or to limit the tremendous work you've already done. You've done tremendous work. And this is just life coming along to show you something you would never have willingly turned to look at because it's that painful. Just breathe.
Yeah. I think Chuckle was off today. I feel punked and wiped out. You know why I couldn't get the volume button on? I was tapping the bottom button instead of the top button. I can't process. Like, my thoughts are just jacked. Which, I don't know if that's healing crisis or healing.
Well, Michael says, you know, that's a confusion is an essential part of the healing process. There has to be some confusion when the conditioning process that I've been trained into and believed in for years is shown to me to be completely false. So before we lose it completely, step into this energy and the thoughts around what your mother did when your father died and what your interpretation of that was and how you added that to your belief system about yourself. And just breathe. And let the tears come. Everybody listening has heard tears before, so just breathe. And allow yourself, with all the support that the listeners on the call are offering, just allow yourself to go and feel it and just ask to be shown, what kind of garbage did I download? What kind of false belief did I download at that time? And add to that life of conditioning with my mother and her pain and just let it bubble to the surface. And whether you want to just write out some notes for yourself or if you want to talk it out on the show, we're here for that.
Well, yesterday I said that it felt like the stuff with Mark was stronger. And when I was feeling that just now, I'm like, oh, maybe that's not so.
Maybe what's not so?
That, like, it feels pretty similar. Maybe stronger. Because, you know, the belief that parents are supposed to be unconditional and, you know, marriage, that's a little bit more of a stretch for most people. So the, you know, offense that I have in me resonates a little louder with the expectation, the goal that, wait a second, your parents are supposed to be unconditional.
Yep, that is that's a belief. It's certainly not the actuality, but it's a belief. And you can see how. Go ahead.
No, you can see how what?
You can see how a mind shifter like the one that popped into our heads yesterday would really stir that up. Because it's in direct contradiction to the experience you had when you kept bumping into your mother's pain. And this is the part you need to keep reminding yourself from the higher perspective, from the adult perspective, from the perspective tapped into love, is that everything your mother said and did towards you was about her and her pain. It had nothing to do with, it was not a reflection of, or a validation of your worth. Whatever comes out of my mouth is always going to tell you more about what's going on in me than it's ever going to tell you about anyone or anything outside of me. And you have a mind full of experiences, as we all do, of experiences generated by interacting with your mother when she was not coming from a space of love, when she had far more power over your life than you did, and where you downloaded the belief that this was a survival level problem. If you didn't get it right, you wouldn't survive. And in that process, I download an entire library full of experiences and false conclusions about my being damaged or my being broken or my being helpless or my being hopeless or my being worthless. And that's what you're running up against. And that's what the gift of being left off of the obituary is allowing you to tap into.
Let's see. As far as the support on the show right now, and in terms of moving through that energy and people holding a space, I appreciate that. And they also wanted to specifically acknowledge Susan and Camille and Julie, who were more directly supportive. And Julie and I even spent some time on the phone last night talking through some aspects. I asked for some coaching, and it was really helpful to just continue that process with that I was doing by myself, and she called it a part of the evening where, you know, inviting another person for the support was very welcome and helpful. And it was interesting because one of the things we had talked about that I had some insight maybe is that, you know, that I have a belief or a judgment, right, that that it was inappropriate to leave me off the obituary, but that so the looking at it that he's wrong for not listing me in the paper, and that if I was it was just accepting it, that it seems like that would be accepting something that no self-respecting person would. And her feedback was along the lines like, you know, whatever he chooses to do is what he did, and then how one reacts to what he did is their work to do, obviously. And then, you know, she made this comment, like, we realized that, you know, maybe if I was writing the obituary in this circumstance, that I would have chose differently, but he has to live with his choices as you will live with your choices. And almost like a lightning bolt, because I know his core issues in terms of, like, responsibility and then feeling a lot of guilt because of that, and just like holding guilt as one of his themes, that it occurred to me maybe a choice like that, because he's very PC as a politician, and so he knows, you know, etiquette and decorum and things like this. And so, you know, it occurred to me maybe he makes a choice like that unconsciously that will fuel and support some type of future guilt opportunity for him. Not that that's true, but you know, the possibility that, like, we do things in our unconscious moments just to keep that pattern flowing and always got some new fodder to, like, eventually support our wounds.
Okay, maybe, but we don't have access to that. But Chuckles was back when you said that's something that no self-respecting person would put up with or tolerate or whatever. And it struck my funny bone because that's just your faulty conditioning. Your faulty conditioning has you still connecting someone being self-respecting relating to the way other people are talking about them or acting. And self-respect is a 100% inside job. So our culture conditions us to these statements like, no self-respecting person would wear that blouse with those pants. Right? No self-respect person would let that go without attacking them or suing them. So we have all of these, I'm going to call them insane conditionings, and I'm using the term insane the way Michael does. They come from the absence of the awareness of the presence of love. When I'm acting without my focus being on my true nature as the awareness, my awareness of my nature as love, then I'm acting from an insane mind. And we're full of these conditions and conditioned beliefs. And that's when you just spotted out. No self-respecting person would let that go unpunished. And the fact of the matter is, that's a statement that only an insane mind can utter, because the actual opposite is true. Any self-respecting person would know what somebody else does is about them. It's not about me. And as we were talking about extensively in the show yesterday, unless I'm holding a belief inside of me that I'm hiding from myself that says I'm not lovable and I'm not respect worthy, I can't feel that energy. It can't get resonated by something somebody else does. So all of that energy that makes me want to say no self-respecting person would put up with that is more work for me to do. If it's irritation, if it's confusion, if it's hurt, if it's anger, if it's sadness, it's blocking my ability to see accurately what actually is. Because the fact of the matter is, any self-respecting person feels in every cell of their body the active presence of love, knows that's their true nature, and knows that's the true nature of everyone and everything around them, even if they're not aware of that at the time. And so what people say and do isn't about me, and unless I'm holding a negative energy that it's resonating with, it moves right through me. Like Dale Allen Hoffman would say, the Lakota say, let the wind blow through you. Be the baleen in the whales that only catches what nourishes them and lets everything else flow through.
Well, I'm definitely glad I brought that up because that's a good catch, and I can see it on a more subtle layer. And I will say that that texting was mid mind shifter muddle, so makes sense.
Well, I was relating that to somebody after the show yesterday, and they said, I absolutely believe there were people listening to that show and people who will hear it on the archives who will have thoughts come up in them like, that's ridiculous, I can't believe he did that, what a hurtful thing. And they would be the people who would be willing to get the tar and feathers and ride the person out of town on the rail and let's go attack this person, this husband who did this horrible thing to this woman who's still his wife and the mother of his children. And yet, none of that has anything to do with the pain, the fear, the sadness, and the lack of self-respect that you're experiencing. It's true, as a social convention, as you said, you know, there are hundreds of thousands of people who will line up and say, yeah, that's right, and this is wrong. You know, there were a whole bunch of people that lined up and said what Hitler did was right, but that didn't make it right. You know, a whole bunch of people can say, you know, this is the real thing to do. Well, it doesn't. The fact of the matter is, if I have anger, it's something that's generated in my mind-body energy system. And the best use I've ever found for my anger is a wake-up call for me to wake up to the fact that my thinking is off the mark, that my perception is distorted, that I've lost awareness of my true nature as the energy of love manifesting in form. I've lost sight of the fact that the most useful thing I can do in every moment is bless creation first before I take an action, to restore my awareness to my true nature, to open up my view, to get that crystal clear 360-degree view of the world. And from that, when I take an action, I'm guaranteed to get better results. So I'll give you the last word. I just got the 90-second beep in my ear.
You're
all yours, Chuckles.
Oh.
It's all yours, Chuckles.
Wow. I had no idea that, like, almost like a time warp. I thought we had a half an hour easy. There's a person in the chat room who's been writing some things, and I wanted to read them a response. I'm going to apologize because I was focused on the call, and I thought, well, we're going to have a hand up soon enough, and I'll be able to read this and respond. So I want to take, give that feedback to the creator's dream. I apologize for not typing you back. And just thank you to the people that are on the call supporting the process, and certainly you, Tim, for being so patient and filled with wisdom and laughter and supporting my healing.
Well, you know you're most welcome and deserving. And we'll be back again tomorrow.
So have the best eternal year of your life yet. Not sure how that goes.
Will do.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes, and Michelle Pache, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here every Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mindshifters Radio. For more on Michael or myself or Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org, That's www.whyagain.org.